solemnly swear that I will faithfully, diligently, and impartially execute and perform the duties required of me as a member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and will well and truly obey and perform all lawful orders and instructions which I shall receive as such, without fear, favor, or affection of or towards any person. So help me God.
The Queen's Men. For the first time, authentic stories of the world-famous Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Tales of men who, for almost 100 years, have helped to keep peace in Canada. The Queen's Men. Stories of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Names have been changed for family protection. And now transcribe The Queen's Men.
Ah, oh, morning, Kelly. You just get back from court?
Yeah, and I'm ready for some coffee. Cup of coffee, please, Hank. I don't mind telling you, Sergeant, I didn't enjoy giving evidence in this case. I feel there are extenuating circumstances in this fellow's case. I'm afraid he's liable to get a stiffer sentence than he really deserves.
Oh, the judge will take the circumstances into consideration. You can be pretty sure.
I suppose so, but I'd like to be able to deal with it myself.
You should be stationed in one of the small western towns where you'd have some jurisdiction. You haven't been on the force very long. I guess you don't know how they operate out there.
No.
I'll never forget a particular case where I dispensed justice. You see, minor cases of infringement of the law are dealt with by a justice of the peace. I remember explaining the procedure to my wife shortly after I was stationed in the town of Owen in northern British Columbia many years ago.
You mean the justice of the peace presides by himself in the local court?
Yeah, that's right, Jane. Provided it's a minor crime, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The JPs are appointed by the government, you see. And some of them have very little knowledge of the law.
Really? But...
Oh, yeah. They're given a copy of the criminal code, you know what that is,
yeah.
And the statutes, and turned loose.
Well, doesn't that result in a lot of injustice?
Well, in some countries it does. But here in Canada, it's worked out very well, I must say. You see, the JPs have learned to look to us for advice. The mounted police are their, well, you might call them their guides and counselors.
Well, now, let me get it straight, Harry. Now that I'm a Mountie's wife, I'd like to know how all these things work.
Why, sure.
Now, you track down the criminals.
That's right.
And you prosecute them in court in the name of the Crown. Is that right?
Yeah, you're doing fine.
Yeah.
A courtroom is presided over by the JP, as I said, and is usually crowded with the local settlers, the people who live around, you know. And they know most of the circumstances of the case. Therefore, it's essential that fair punishments are handed out.
Well, I should think so, Harry.
Well, not only is it the right thing, but in this wild country, we badly need the respect and assistance of these local people.
Mm-hmm.
You see, respect is what the force is founded on. So after doing the capturing and prosecuting, we usually advise the JP on what the punishment should be.
Yes, but Harry, that gives you a lot of power, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, a great deal. But you know... Jane, I've never heard of a single case where the police have abused this immense power. As a matter of fact, most of the men err on the side of leniency.
Well, I'm glad of that. Well, I think I understand now. Why did you bring the question up today, Harry?
Well, now, here it is. Because a new justice of the peace has been appointed for this district, and he's arriving here this afternoon. It helps to get off on friendly terms with him, so... I thought...
Oh, now I do understand. You'd like me to invite him for dinner, would you?
Well, now that you mention...
Oh.
Okay, since you've made the offer, honey, Mr. Hawkins and I accept.
Good.
You know, it makes the dispensing of law much more easy and pleasant if the force and the JP can cooperate.
Oh, yes, of course.
And listen, to be frank...
What is it, Harry? Something's worrying you.
Well, I'm sure I can cope with him. The commissioner dropped me a note, you see, and suggested I treat Hawkins pretty carefully.
Why? Is he, a little bit stuffy or...
Well, he's inclined to be a little officious, the commissioner thinks. Probably just new at the job.
Uh-huh.
I think we'll get along all right. We'll have to, or there'll be trouble.
Would you care for more salad, Mr. Hawkins?
I don't mind if I do, Mrs. Bennett. Bennett, you're a lucky man. A wife who can cook like this.
Oh.
Nothing to do but ride about in the fine northern air looking for your man.
Oh, it's not quite as simple as that, Mr. Hawkins.
Now, tell me, is it true that you fellows always get your man?
Oh, pretty nearly. Then, after we get him, he has to be dealt with. Isn't all open air work?
Well, now that I'm here, you Mounties won't have to bother about any courtroom work. Except for giving evidence, of course.
Well, I'm at your disposal, Mr. Hawkins. I've been stationed in these parts quite a few years, and I'm fairly familiar with the types of crimes you can expect. And, I'll be glad to give my advice any time on the meeting out of punishment.
It isn't necessary to know the people for that. When it comes to the matter of sentencing, one simply has to follow the criminal code.
Yes, of course. On the other hand...
And I'm thoroughly familiar with the criminal code. Follow the rules, I always say. None of this soft-hearted business of modifying the punishment. Not for me.
Well, that's up to you, of course. It's your job.
That's right. It's my job. You catch him, and I'll punish him. And we'll get along fine. Delicious dinner. Delicious dinner, Mrs. Bennett.
Nice.
Delicious.
Yes, yes. Very good dinner, Jane.
You, Harry?
Yeah, dear, that's me. I knew it. I knew this was going to happen.
What? Harry, what's the matter? Has something serious happened?
Well, it's not too serious so far, but it's going to be.
Tell me.
For 2 weeks now, complaints have been pouring into me about Hawkins, about the outrageous fines he's imposing on any minor case that comes before him.
Oh, dear, you were afraid of that.
Look, he fined one of the Indians $25 and costs on a charge of disorderly conduct.
No, Harry.
Now, that's all very well in Montreal or wherever it was he was before, but out here, why, the Indians around here work months for $25.
Oh, yes, I know. It doesn't seem fair.
It's not fair. And you see, the trouble is that people are looking to me to do something about it. He won't stamp out trouble that way, Jane. He'll just create more of it.
But what are you going to do?
All I can do is talk to him again, I suppose. But the man won't listen.
Oh, no.
He's got an exaggerated idea of his own importance. He thinks he can just go by the book without using any common sense or decency. Well, I'll have another try. Don't wait lunch, Jane.
No, all right.
I'm going down to the courthouse.
Book says $25 for disorderly conduct, Sergeant.
I know it does, Mr. Hawkins, but the purpose of the law is to try to cut down on offenses. We're trying to teach these people to be more decent and reasonable. And to do that, we must be reasonable ourselves. We're dealing only with petty offenses. When we get to a murder case, that'll be different. Now, there's been a great deal of hard feeling aroused in this district the last few weeks. I'd suggest that in the case of disorderly conduct, for instance, a fine of $2.50 in costs would keep these people from repeating the offense.
I see. Well, thank you for your advice, Sergeant. I'll think it over.
I do wish you would. And any time that a case comes up in court that you're doubtful about, if you'll just phone me, I'll be glad to come and give you my advice.
Right, I'll do that.
Well, I'll be running along. I have to ride over to Marketville and look into an assault complaint.
Oh, it's Hawkins.
Oh, yeah, yes.
There's an Indian outside yelling blue murder. Says his boat's been stolen. Says he knows who stole it.
Who is it out there, clerk?
His name's Pete.
Oh, that'll be Pete Goanko. He's always complaining about thefts. 9 times out of 10, it's something he's misplaced himself.
Not so easy to misplace a boat. Who does he say stole his boat?
Somebody called Horseface.
Horseface, I might have known.
Well, what about this Horseface?
Oh, he's a simple-minded old Indian who lives on the trail along the north end of the lake. Horseface and Pete had a set to 3 or 4 years ago. They've both forgotten what the argument was about, but they've been having a fine time being mortal enemies ever since.
Well, if they've started stealing each other's possessions, I think it's time they got their fun some other way.
Oh, you'll find it's all a mistake. Horseface is perfectly harmless. Why, he wouldn't steal a lead nickel.
Where was it you said you were going, Sergeant?
Marketville. Thanks for reminding me. I'm late now. Tell Pete to have a look in his boathouse. Goodbye, Mr. Hawkins.
Goodbye. Jim, that mount is beginning to get on my nerves.
Oh, Bennett? How come, Mr. Hawkins?
I don't like his attitude towards crime. You don't laugh off a thing like theft.
If it really is theft, you'll find the sergeant won't be laughing it off. He's a good man.
Well, he doesn't take the law seriously enough to suit me. Tell that Indian to come in here. Yes. I intend to investigate this crime thoroughly. You stay here.
Yes, but I'm still going to sit down.
If what you say is true, your friend Horseface is in trouble.
Friend? He's no friend of mine.
Oh, Jim.
Yes, Mr. Hawkins?
Get in touch with Constable Bailey immediately. This man says he saw his boat moored by the dock up at Horseface's shack. It's theft, all right.
Well, aren't you going to wait for the sergeant to get back?
No, we're not. We're going up there and arrest that Indian in the name of the king.
You'd never get here.
Oh, what's the matter, Jane?
Oh, I don't know, but something dreadful's happened. Mr. Hawkins has been phoning and phoning.
Hawkins, what does he want?
Oh, I don't know. He wouldn't say anything except to tell you to get right down to the courthouse the instant you came in. He sounds dreadful.
Angry, you mean?
Well, he just different. His voice seems to be all trembling and he sounds shaky as can be.
Well, that's odd. I didn't think anything could shake the proper Mr. Hawkins.
Well, you'd better get down there and find out what the trouble is before he has a heart attack.
Sergeant, thank goodness you got here. I badly need your advice.
My advice? Wow. Tell me what's happened.
That Indian, that horse face. The constable and I went out to his place, and sure enough, he had the goods on him.
Pete's boat. Oh, good heavens, he really did steal it.
He stole it, all right. He even admitted it. We took him into custody and brought him in here and read the charge to him, and he pleaded guilty.
Ah, you work fast.
Well, but the trouble is, frankly, Sergeant, I'm in a jam.
Well, I don't see that. Unless there's something you haven't told me.
Well, we put him in cell B. He's in there now. He's pacing up and down like a caged lion. You see, I'm afraid he overheard me talking to the constable about
what? What on earth are you so upset about? If he stole a boat, then you did the right thing to charge him with theft.
Yes, but have you ever looked up that crime in the criminal code?
Theft? Certainly. I've dealt with theft hundreds of times.
I mean theft of a boat.
Well, no, I don't recall.
It states plainly and clearly, Sergeant, that where the theft concerns ships and boats, it's under the heading of piracy.
Piracy?
I've searched the code for another solution, but this man has been charged, he's pleaded guilty, and my policy has always been to abide by the book.
Well, what's the sentence?
The sentence is death.
In just a moment, we'll return for the second part of this true story of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the Queen's Men. And now we return you to The Queen's Men.
Down this way, Sergeant.
Yeah. He's in cell B, isn't he?
He was last time I looked. The way he was acting, though, I figured he might tear the bars out.
Jim, you've been in this town as long as I have. You know this Indian.
Well, sure. Everyone knows Horseface is no crook. Just between you and me, Sergeant, I think that J.P. is way off the beam.
Yeah, he's been stirring up some trouble, all right.
Listen, he isn't serious about the death penalty for stealing an old homemade boat, is he?
Oh, he's serious enough in saying that it could technically come under the heading of piracy and that the criminal code hasn't been changed in that respect since the old days when the sentence was death. But if he has any idea of carrying it out, he's going to have his hands full.
Well, I'm sure glad you're stepping in, Sergeant Bennett. I think Hawkins is crazy myself.
No, not crazy. Just stubborn. He's made a big mistake this time.
The question is whether he'll back down of his own accord or whether he'll need to be pressured.
Yep. Horseface is still there.
It's about time that something was done to help police with that.
What are you going to do, Sergeant?
Find out how this happened, first of all. Good afternoon, Horseface.
Listen. Listen, Mountie.
All right, all right. I'm going to listen. Open the cell, please, Jim.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks. Now, if you'll leave us alone.
Sure. Hey, you sure you'll be all right, Sergeant?
Sure thing. Okay, Horseface, you sit down and take it easy. I want you to tell me what happened today.
Listen, that fellow, that J.P. fellow, you know what he said?
Yeah, I know about that. Now, don't worry about it. Tell me what you did today. Now, look, I'm your friend, Horseface. You got yourself into trouble, and I'm going to help you. You know you can trust me.
Sure, sure. You're okay. Mounties are okay. But the J.P. fellow...
Just tell me about you, Horseface.
I didn't do anything. I came into town to sell my muskrats.
Yes?
And I sold them. I sold them okay. So I start home in my wagon. I go home by the lake, past Pete's place. Well, I see he has a boat. He's not using the boat today. It is just sitting there on his pond. Me? I got a pond too, and I got no boat.
Pete made his boat, didn't he?
Sure, maybe. I guess so. I don't know.
I think he made his boat. Did you ever think of making a boat?
Me? I do not need a boat. Just today, the ducks are coming in, but not to the shore like they used to. Today, I need a boat to get out to the ducks. So I figure I borrow Pete's boat, and I get some ducks and bring Pete back his boat and the duck.
Yes, go on.
Oh, that is all, Mountie. I put the boat on my wagon and go home. I put the boat on the water, and I go out and shoot some ducks. Then I go out back to clean the ducks, and along comes Pete and that J.P. fellow. And he brings me in here and reads a lot of stuff out of a little book. He says, you took the boat. I say, yeah, sure. I offer everybody a duck, but nobody takes one. Nobody says thank you. Then I hear that fellow say, Horseface is going to die.
Well, you're not going to die.
But that man say,
The man is wrong. Of course, you were wrong, too, in taking Pete's boat, and you'll have to be punished. Do you realize it was wrong to take the boat?
Now I do, Mountie. Yes, yeah, sure, but I tell you the truth. I only borrowed the boat.
And I believe you. I believe that you intended to return it. But the point is, you must ask people in future before you borrow their belongings.
Okay, sure. Can I go home now, Mountie?
No, not right now. First, you will have to have a hearing.
But you just heard me. I just told you.
A hearing in court. I'll have to convince Mr. Hawkins to modify the charge.
I do not understand.
I'll explain it all to you more carefully later. Right now...
Sergeant Bennett.
Yes, Jim?
You better come upstairs quick.
What's the matter?
Plenty. Looks like there's going to be a war.
What? What are you talking about?
The word's got out about Hawkins handing the death sentence to Horseface.
Just a minute. Lock this door first.
Monty, can I go home now?
Later, not now. Now, you just take it easy, Horseface. Everything's going to be all right.
All right.
Come along, Jim. There's no point in getting him any more alarmed than he already is. The whole thing is ridiculous. Now, what's going on, Jim?
It may look ridiculous to you, Sergeant, but the Horseface's friends is no laughing matter. The Indians in the territory have called a council of war.
Council of war? Why, there hasn't been an Indian uprising in this country for three generations.
Well, there's going to be one now, unless something's done and fast. There's talk about them storming the jail, and I hate to think what they'll do to Hawkins.
Oh, this is incredible. The days of Indian revolts are past.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible to sentence a man to death for stealing a boat, too, Sergeant.
Well, he hasn't sentenced him.
Nobody's talking about it, and apparently that's enough to get the Indians pretty excited.
Where are they holding this meeting?
In that clearing, just outside, on the west side of town.
Do you know when?
Yeah, this afternoon sometime.
Right. I'm glad to hear about this, Jim. I better get out there right away. Now, saddle your horse and come with me. There may be trouble. I see them. Over this way, Jim.
Right.
Good heavens, there are dozens of them.
Didn't know we had this many Indians around the countryside.
Now rein in your horse. We'll go in at a walk. Let's not create a panic.
Good idea.
I wonder who's in charge.
That fell off in a tree stump, looks like.
Why, it's Charlie Fadeo. What on earth is he wearing?
Looks like a moth-eaten old headdress.
He's dug it out of a trunk from the days of his great-grandfather.
Sergeant, if this wasn't so serious, I could get a big laugh out of these boys.
play an Indian.
Well, don't let me catch you laughing. They're pretty enraged as it is. Hey there! Charlie!
What do you want, Monty?
Hold everything, Charlie. I want to talk to you.
We're not holding anything, Monty. And don't you start no trouble.
No, there's not going to be any trouble, Charlie. That's why I'm here. Steady, Prince. I want to talk to you, boys. Let's all be reasonable.
Yeah, I guess the law's being reasonable about our friend Horseface.
The law is going to be reasonable about him, Charlie.
Yeah, you bet they are. That's what we're going to see to.
That's what I'm going to see to, Charlie.
Yeah? Did you let him go free?
No, not yet.
Then we are going to free him.
Now listen. Listen, all of you.
We got no time to listen, Monty. Maybe we listen while you talk that hawk and send Horseface to the gallows.
He's not going to do any such thing. That's what I'm here to explain.
Out of our way. We're going to free Horseface, and then you explain.
They mean business, Sergeant. He means it. They won't stop to listen.
You're right. Thank goodness they're on foot. Wheel your horse around, Jim, and let's get back to town before them.
Right.
What did you say? How many of them?
50 or 60. Maybe more. They're as mad as hornets, and they're moving in on the courthouse.
Why, that's terrible, Sergeant. What can we do?
I'll tell you what we can do.
Anything you say, Sergeant. I'll do anything you say.
I've tried talking to them, but they won't listen to me. But they may listen to you.
You think so? Very well. I'll talk to them. I'll threaten them. That's what I'll do.
Excuse me, but that's exactly what you won't do, Hawkins. You'll apologize.
What? Apologize to a bunch of Indians?
You've been handing out outrageous punishments with a very heavy hand, Hawkins. I've asked you to be more reasonable, but instead...
I had no intention of putting that Indian to death.
They don't know that. And Horseface didn't know it when he heard you talking about the death penalty.
I was only saying what the law called for.
The law does not call for that kind of injustice. That law needs to be properly interpreted, Mr. Hawkins, and it's our sacred duty to see that it's done fairly. I tried to tell you that, and you wouldn't listen. Now look what's happened. The only person who can straighten this out is you.
Apologize, you said? Right out in public?
Yes, and then see that Horseface gets a proper hearing and a reasonable sentence. You can be sure he'll never steal another boat.
Bennett, I can't believe that. What's that?
I guess that's the mob. Didn't take them long to get here.
It sounds like... How many did you say there were?
It looked like...
Sergeant, take a look out the window.
Yes, I can hear them.
Yeah, but take a look. Look at the size of the mob now.
Why,
they picked up another 100 men, at least, along the way.
Sergeant, what are we going to do? There are too many of them. They won't stop to listen to reasonable talk.
I'm afraid you're right, Hawkins. This is the terrible thing that happens with an angry mob. Now, wait. There must be something. Jim, go on down to the cells and bring Horseface upstairs. On the double.
Sure, Sergeant.
Now, take him straight into the courtroom. Now, there's only one thing to do, Hawkins, and we have to try it and hope it'll work.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to try and steer that mob into the courtroom. It would be impossible to stop them. They won't listen to any explanation. It's like a tidal wave and it has to keep moving. Now, maybe I can keep them from losing their heads and somehow get them into the courtroom.
Then what?
When they get in there, they'll discover that you're presiding at the hearing of their friend, Horseface. Now, here's what to do. All right, in here, please. Charlie? Hey, Charlie, lead your boys in here to the courtroom.
The courtroom? What for?
Quiet, please. Order in the court.
Now listen, Monty.
Shh, court's in session. Now quiet, everyone, just for a few minutes. Take your seats, please. Come on now, take your seats.
The defendant's name, please.
The defendant is named James Tenneco, better known as Horseface.
Mr. Tenneco, Horseface, you're charged with a theft of an article under the value of $10. Do you plead guilty or not guilty?
It was a boat.
You're not charged with a theft of a boat. You're charged with a theft of an article under the value of $10. How do you plead? Did you take the article?
Sure.
Then you plead guilty.
Yeah, sure, I guess.
You're hereby fined $5. Pay the clerk on your way out.
Mister, you mean I can go?
Yes, you can go. And so can the rest of you. Now, please clear the courtroom quietly. Quietly, please. So that ended my first, and fortunately my last, experience with piracy.
Oh, that's quite a story, Sergeant. But wasn't old Horseface charged with piracy?
No, he wasn't. We made Hawkins change his charge. That's why in the case he deliberately spoke of an article of a value under $10 and made no mention of a boat, which automatically put the charge in a different classification.
What do you know? What happened to old Horseface?
Well, do you know? Pete and Horseface got to be the best of friends. Yeah. Pete even helped Horseface to build his own boat.
Did old friend Hawkins learn his lessons from that?
Well, Hawkins is still dispensing justice in the same little village.
Well, you don't say.
And the last word I heard about him was that he's rather noted for his leniency.
The Queen's Men, authentic stories of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Music under the direction of Sidney Torch. Script and adaptation under the supervision of John Adaskin. Produced and directed by Harry Allen Towers.